We are live. This is CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, the campus community radio from Simon Fraser University. We broadcast on the unceded ancestral territory of the Kwikwetlem, Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh. We stream online at cgsf.ca. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Twitter, and listen to podcasts of our programs on SoundCloud and our website. Got a request? Text or call us at 778-782-CGSF or 2573. This is Khwai Ange Shachlach from the Intlakepmuk territories up in the Nicola Valley from Gwaishkina, BC. And I'm your host here on Free Voices, brought to you by Eagle Nation Universal Production Society. And we have a super awesome show. We have a subject and it's on roots. And we have a special guest in the house with us today, Wegedus.
Oh, come on, Chief. I'm here almost every show. Still a special guest. I'll take it.
Oh, man. It's so awesome when you make it in.
Thanks, bro. I love being here. And thanks to all the listeners for tuning in, too. You know, we got people from all around the world, local and international, and you're the guy hosting, bro, so big thanks to you. Every day you guys should see him here. He looks like an octopus with all his hands hitting all the dials and making sure everything, all the cuts are good, so thanks to you, Chief.
Oh, no problem, man. So we have a super awesome show coming in for you guys. We have some music from Wu Fat. We have Charles Berthoud. We have Crystal Rock, Miles and Miles, and Funk Cartel, and also Kin Buffalo. And we didn't get a chance to play the whole song of the Midnight Ghost Train, so hopefully we have enough time this time, so we have that. And we also have our special guests that we always have. We have Wegedesk, of course.
Thank you.
We have a very special interview with Mr. Sapa. We had some feedback that one of our podcasts wasn't too high quality, so we're going to redo that one. It's the second part of our interview with Mr. Sapa back in March. So we're going to do that. And also we have my brother Shkwait Shachlech and also the president of Minnetonka Park Association and also Lady Faima coming up. So yeah. So we'll start off with an energizer. We're going to listen to some Wu Fat and their song called The Lost Highway. And that's from their album, The Black Code. And a special shout out to my niece, Gemden, Snowy Mountains, and also my niece, Sensei Lily, down in California.
All right.
Big shout out to them. And listen and enjoy, everyone. We'll be right back. We'll be right back. is a powerful song, man.
Totally, bro. I'm jacked up.
Yeah, same here, man. Well, we welcome everybody from all over the world, from Germany, from England, from Spain, from Italy, from United States, from Africa, from Japan, China, Ukraine, Russia, New Zealand, Australia, South America, North America, all across the United States, all across Canada. We welcome all of you on our odyssey of positivity, human growth, empowerment for human rights and justice. We thank you for joining us and helping us to make this world a better place. And it's just always an awesome time that we come here. We get jacked up, fired up. And so we're going to ask our brother Wegedesk here to lead us through some deep breaths and get the show started right.
Absolutely, guys. You know how important that air is for our body. So why don't we relax our shoulders, relax our jaw. Just take a minute, whatever you're doing. It's only going to take 30 seconds. When we inhale, appreciation and gratitude for whatever makes you feel good. And when you exhale, let it go. Don't hold anything back. And let's do three of those. In 3, 2, 1, let's go. Two more. I'm grateful for my body on this inhale. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Ooh, man, that's so powerful. Getting those breaths into our lungs and filling our blood full of oxygen, getting us ready and fired up for an awesome subject, which we have today. Our subject is on roots.
Roots, yeah. And, you know, you picked that today, and I was like, oh, my God, I was working with roots earlier. Mm. And so, you know, I've got a lot of fancy stories to tell, but I'm just going to tell you guys what I went through earlier today and what I learned from it. So it's gardening season. I germinated some seeds. I left them in a bowl of water with a little bit of dirt so that the seeds could start to germinate. Then I took them, put them in between two wet paper towels, put them in a Ziploc bag, left it open, but the seeds start to germinate. And these are peas in particular. I love those sweet peas. So out of them grows two shoots. One shoot is the root, and the other is the stalk. And so I was rushing things a little bit. I cracked them open to see how they're doing, and they only have the one shoot out so far. But I'm like jonesed up for gardening. I want to eat these peas. So I'm like, I got to plant these suckers. And then I think, is that first shoot the root or is it the stalk? And so, because I got to know which way to plant this. Am I going to plant the root, you know, this one shoot facing up or facing down? And I say to myself, I almost get out my phone and I'm like, I don't need to look at Google. I think it makes the most sense that this first shoot would grow towards the sun because the sun is where the energy is coming from and it's warm and that's the way it's going. So I planted about like 36, 40 of these plants and then I put them out in the sun and I noticed that this shoot starts like withering away. And I'm like, oh, maybe I planted them upside down. So I look online and sure enough, that first shoot is the root. Mm. And what I learned about that is that me as a human, we come from the heavenly realm down into the physical realm. Mm. But the plants, they come from the earth realm. So of course they're going to grab the earth first and then reach up for the sky. Mm. So today I unplanted them all and turned them back upside down. I thought about taking the whole tray and just flipping it over and leaving it. But, you know, we got to show these things love if we want them to grow. So, yeah, that's what happened to me. You roots. And I'm like, man, I think human roots come from the heavenly realm, the solar realm, and we come down into the physical realm. And most things in this world have their roots first in the earth. Mm. Right. So, yeah, that's what I got to say about that.
Well, for me, I got interested in it because it's something that was coming up in a lot of conversation I was having with some of my riders and stuff. And we got to the talking of, you know, traditions, heritage, and culture, and just how important they are for our lives and everything. And a lot of people were talking about, yeah, it's our roots. And I was thinking about it, and I was just thinking how powerful that statement is, you know, our roots. And these roots are things that stabilize us in our lives. It grounds us. That's why they say, oh, we got to be grounded. And these things that help us be grounded is our roots, which is our culture, our traditions, our heritage. These are our roots, and these help us to be grounded to Mother Earth and help us to become productive and produce fruit and positivity in the world. And that was the thing that I just wanted to share and realize, so it'll help me in my own growth. And remember that, yeah, I got to continue. I got to continue working on my roots and be grounded. And a lot of great things came when I was grounded. Like when I go flat on the ground and just lay there like, you know, a servant of mankind and God or whatever power we want to talk about. But when we become grounded and humble and we lay on the ground from the earth that produced us, you know, that's what kind of helps us and stabilizes us and shows us the knowledge that we don't have. And it's just so special, so amazing. And I just really appreciate that you made it over. We got on this program. We get to share with all the people all over the world. And we're so grateful for, you know, all our listeners.
Absolutely.
That tune in and listen in and give us feedback on, you know, some of the things that may not be going too well and stuff. And then we can fix it. And then we can make it.
Absolutely.
And hone it and make it a better product and closer to perfection. So
now, if I can, Chief, I want to share with the listeners what we talked about with Song Su outside and actually Israel as well, with a different type of roots, our energetic roots inside of us that link back and ground us with our mother and our father. If we ever want to empower ourselves more, look at our mother and father in a better light. Mm. See them as that perfect version of themselves, because we all accumulate these layers of trauma and dysfunction in the physical world. But in the 5D world, in that perfect scenario, you have the perfect mother and the perfect father. And if we can energetically and emotionally connect and resonate with those perfections, those roots are going to just grow super strong, and then they grow into our grandparents and our grandparents' grandparents. And before you know it, you're standing with 3,000 ancestors behind you, you know? And so thank you, Chief. Thank you for inspiring that, reminding me to share that with the listeners, because we have amazing talks here.
It's so beautiful and wonderful. And we know we're changing the world, and that's what makes it special. And yeah, so we are going to play the rest of part two of the interview with Mr. Sapa on the Lotus Temple.
Okay.
So we wanted to play that over again, but first we're going to play him a song. We're going to play him some Sound of Silence, and it's from Charles Berthoud. And just one of the favorites of Councillor Fahy also.
Beautiful.
So we're going to play that, and then we'll play the rest of that part two.
All right, let's hear it.
So listen and enjoy, everyone. Here's Sound of Silence.
Mm-hmm.
right, we're back, and so we're going to play Mr. Sapa. Here it is.
So you all know I love my Raycon Everyday Earbuds, and they just came out with their new upgraded version. These ones have...
South of India and all areas, and visited so many temples and buildings.
Bear with us here. We're just going to find the volume.
A concept that is unique, but at the same time, it is accepted, it is respected by all the people. Because if this teaching of the Baha'i Faith, of Baha'u'llah, is correct, then there should be something that symbolizes that unity, that that we are all children of one God. We are all like flowers of one garden and really fruits of one tree. So if that is the case, it should be represented in this symbol. So when I traveled everywhere, I found that lotus flower, that in fact is a national flower of India. It's a sign, the symbol of really a manifestation of God for Hindus. Hindus, they believe Brahma, creator of the heaven and earth, was born in a lotus flower. Their famous prayer, Om Mani Padme Om, Om ye jewel in the lotus. This is a prayer of the Buddhists of Tibet, that they believe lotus is the symbol of manifestation of God, because lotus grows in polluted atmosphere, polluted water, dirty water, but stays pure and beautiful above the mud, above the dirt. It doesn't become dirty by its atmosphere. So this is the reason that always they show the statue of the Buddha. Zoroastrian, they show pictures of Mitra dancing on a lotus flower. Buddha is always sitting on a throne of a lotus. And God and goddesses of Hinduism, they have a lotus in their hand as a symbol of spirituality, purity, perfection. And I thought that Hindus, they believe they have always dreamed of a temple that is in the shape of lotus. And they have, the same thing has been for the Buddhists. The same thing has been, Professor Jung has studied lots of symbolism of the churches, and he comes to the point that the churches, based on mother symbol of all the religions, which is mandala, and the lotus is known as mandala. The same thing is in Islam. The dome of Taj Mahal, that is a mausoleum, is really a bud of the lotus. So again, I thought that if I choose this as a symbol for the building, it will probably look familiar, that you have had a dream of a building all of your life in that shape, and now you see it in real life. Of course, then the creation of such a design, this building is now considered one of the most complicated shell structures of the world, the largest shell structure of the world. It has so it's modern, it's based on latest really concrete technology, but it has been built with the most traditional and by the most ordinary laborers, Indian laborers, because I wanted to use everything local as much as I can. Other than some materials of the building, that like white cement, that was not available at the time in India, and white marble. Other than that, everything is really Indian. all of the technology, all of the workers were Indian, and it was built in that way. It took about 6 years. We built the building, and the total design and then the earthwork and others together with the building complete from beginning of the design to end of completion, it was 10 years. In that 10 years, I moved to India, I lived there, I lived with those labors and work. And, you know, in Baha'i faith, there is a teaching that it's very important. It says that there is a jewel in every human being, not only human being, in every creature. Every creature, there is a jewel in that creature, whether animal, human, nature, plants, everything. There is some special gift in that person. And it is our duty. It is the duty of artists. It is the duty of a good person to find that jewel in other people and show it to them. Let them grow to their perfection. Let them grow to see what is the potential of worldly. And this is what I followed, and I believe that I found that this jewel in India is this lotus in Indian subcontinent. It is this lotus. Everybody has seen it. It's at the back of every truck in India, by the way. I mean, in Delhi you go, in everywhere you go, it's sign of the on the flag of the governing party of India right now, that is known as Bharatiya Janata Party. The symbol of this party is lotus flower. It's everywhere. But nobody had looked at it as in a building like this. Now that it is built, it has really, and then it's finished, it attracted so many people. Dalai Lama himself requested, and he came for several prayer events as he came to temple and paid such a wonderful respect. The representative of Vatican visited the temple. The leaders of the Jain sect of Hinduism, the Hindu and the leaders of Hindu, leaders of Sikh religion, several millions of Muslims have visited this building, and this is now the only place in India where you can sit and listen to the holy writings of Hinduism, holy writings of Zoroastrianism, the holy writings of Christianity, and the holy writings of the Muslims, Quran, Bible. There is no lecture allowed in the Baha'i Temple, and there is no priest in the Baha'i Temple. It's between man and God.
Such a beautiful, wonderful story. What an inspiration. It's such a blessing to humanity to have achievers like yourself to transcend us into higher levels of spirituality, unity. It's just a wonderful thing that you were able to produce in your profession of architecture. We really appreciate you joining us and spending your time and explaining the Lotus Temple of New Delhi. It's just a real privilege and an honor. And so we thank you, and we're looking forward to hearing from you again on other